Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome again to Tuesday Teaching Tips. Thanks for joining me. Today it's episode 270, and we're talking about the benefits of closing sermons with the Lord's Supper. Pulling the two together. For the last 2 years in the Watford Church of Christ, most Sundays I've been combining my sermon and communion. One talk with two different sections, you could say. Or perhaps more accurately, concluding my sermons with reflections on the Lord's Supper. And why have I done this? And what are the benefits and drawbacks? That's what we're going to look at here today. Now, perhaps you've already heard about this or seen the so-called sermunion, usually said with a bit of a disparaging tone. Oh, it's just a sermunion. Like, it's not serious. It's not important. Perhaps because on occasion it's been employed to save time in the service. And perhaps that's not the best reason for combining lesson and communion. I've heard the approach despised and denigrated as not being, it can't be a real sermon, can it then? Or it can't be a real communion. Are these criticisms fair? Is it a good reason not to put the sermon and communion together, or at least perhaps connect the two? So let me offer a few thoughts today about the benefits and drawbacks of doing this. We have been doing it for a couple of years, and I'd like to know what you think. So here is the benefit of what I've noticed so far. Firstly, the benefits. One of the benefits of having a connection between the lesson and the communion, the Lord's Supper, and it being effectively kind of one presentation, is that it avoids having too many lessons in one service. Sometimes, and maybe you've seen this, and I've seen it, and I've been guilty of perpetrating this, is that sometimes we get three or even four lessons in one service, and they're disconnected, they're different topics, and you go home with your head sort of spinning. Like, oh, should I get more of my convictions from the communion talk? Or sometimes we even get a lesson in the welcome. We get a welcome lesson. We get a hope talk lesson. We get a communion lesson. We get a sermon lesson. Sometimes, frankly, even some of the prayers I've heard in church are more like lessons. So you have all these lessons. And rather than going home with one idea, we've now got three, four, five disparate ideas. And how do we know which one God was speaking to us in? And as a community, it's confusing because now our community as a church membership, we're all thinking about different things rather than perhaps one thing. Is that healthy? Given that most of us will be attending so many lessons, so many services over the years, surely just having one focus for each Sunday will do, won't it? Just a thought. Anyway, it's a bit of a thought there. It's on my heart. So putting the sermon and communion into one slot reduces that number of lessons by ensuring that the sermon and the Lord's Supper have the same theme, right? They're connected. And it seems to me that that connectedness is healthy. Now, it doesn't have to be one speaker for those two parts to make sure they're connected. You can have two different people already planning on connecting these two things, Lord's Supper and sermon. But if it is just the person doing both, it seems easier and more, it's easier for that person to connect the two and make sure they are effectively one presentation. Another potential benefit is that moving from the scriptures to the table seems right. Now, we don't have that process exactly in the scriptures. In fact, we have it the other way around, of course, in John 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, we have actually table to teaching. Whether it's table to teaching or teaching to table, I don't know whether one is better than the other. I'd be interested to know what you think. But nonetheless, the fact that they're connected does seem to be important. I like teaching to table. I don't think it's necessarily better than table to teaching. But I like teaching to table because then when we get to the table, when we get to the Lord's Supper, we're more clear on why we're celebrating this celebratory meal together, what we're actually remembering. And talking about the lesson over the meal, in a sense, seems to make more sense to me. I wonder what you might make of that. The third benefit of combining the lesson and the communion is that there's more likelihood, I hope, that Jesus will get the honor, not the preacher. When the preacher finishes, then the focus is often on the preacher. But when it's the preacher followed by the speaker talking about the Lord's Supper, talking about Jesus and the cross, and then we go into the taking of the bread and wine, isn't there more of a likelihood that the focus, the spotlight, will be on Jesus? And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Because the fourth benefit of this for me is it's a discipline for me as a speaker. This approach of putting the Lord's Supper at the end of my lesson forces me to ask whether Jesus is the point of my lesson. You know, I may have been teaching on some passage, and it may have nominally been about even Jesus, but was it really about Jesus? Was it my ideas about Jesus? Was it about how others should live the Christian life? And then my congregation are thinking about, my listeners are thinking about themselves. And to an extent, we need that. We need some soberness and reflection. But on the other hand, at the end of it all, is it really about Jesus? So it forces me, as I come to think, okay, so I've written my main lesson. Now I'm going to think about how that connects with the Lord's Supper. Okay, I need to think about Jesus. I need to think about the cross and the resurrection. So it becomes more obvious to me as I do that, whether my lesson is really about Jesus or not. And the fifth advantage is connected to that in that it helps keep the focus on Jesus, the cross and the resurrection, because that's where it's all going. I've talked about this in other of these teaching tips, but it funnels it down to Jesus. The whole lesson funnels down to Jesus. Wherever we start or wherever we journey through the lesson, in the end, it's all coming back down to Jesus. And isn't that wonderful? Isn't that kind of the point? Isn't that why we're all here? It's about him. And so with the communion thoughts, with the Lord's Supper at the end, we're coming back to Jesus, which is what it's all about. And the sixth potential benefit is that that ensures that the congregation's focus is on Jesus, not on me as a speaker, but also not on themselves. As they reflect on the lesson and the points from the lesson and its application to their lives, but in the context of the cross, in the shadow of the cross and of the empty tomb, we could say, because I think the Lord's Supper isn't just about the cross, right? It's about the new life we gain through Christ. And so that's about cross. It's about death. It's also about resurrection. So that new life is in mind here. We're hoping as speakers to draw people into this new life in Christ and to be able to live it out more effectively, more fully, in a more holistic way, in a more joy-filled way. And the cross and the resurrection are so much part of that. So connecting the lesson with the Lord's Supper seems to me to be a very healthy thing to do. So what do you think about that? So six potential benefits, three possible drawbacks. Let me know what you think about these. One potential drawback of this is that it can keep the focus on just the one speaker. A separate person sharing their reflections on the Lord's Supper provides a wider variety of voices and perspectives, as well as enabling training for more speakers. If you get perhaps a less experienced speaker to do some sharing about the Lord's Supper, it gives them the opportunity to gain experience and get feedback. If it's one person doing the lesson and the Lord's Supper, that's fewer people, fewer varieties of backgrounds and perspectives. Now, the counterpoint to that, I would say, is that that depends a little bit on how the talks are done and how the communion talks and the lessons are done. And it also, it depends on what variety you're getting up there to do the preaching. As if you're getting a wide variety of people out there to do the preaching, then that's not so significant. And if your lessons aren't too long, then you don't have to be such an experienced speaker in some ways. And if you have, if you're all members of a congregation for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you're going to get a lot of different perspectives and voices anyway. So, but it is a potential drawback. A second potential drawback is it could be argued that a separate talk around the Lord's Supper could give it greater prominence than if you combine the sermon and the Lord's Supper. Again, some of that depends on, of course, how those talks are done. But it could be argued that, okay, we've had the lesson. Now we're going to go into the Lord's Supper, have a separate person come up and do a separate talk. Maybe that gives more emphasis to that. And I think there's a case to be made there. The third potential drawback is it might not be appropriate to use this approach after a sermon that's been particularly rousing, as in inspiring us to action. Perhaps a very visionary talk, the kind of talk where you actually need to think about it a bit before you do anything else. And maybe after that kind of rousing talk, that kind of inspiring talk, and everybody's energy is up, and I don't think this is appropriate every Sunday, but now and again you want that, don't you? Maybe the beginning of the year, perhaps at the beginning of the autumn, when we've all come back from our summer holidays and our minds are a bit all over the place, and we need someone to say, come on, let's get our hearts together, let's get our minds together, let's get our energy here ready to go for God again. Maybe going into the Lord's Supper directly isn't the best at that point. I don't know. Maybe it is. But that might be a potential drawback. Can you think of any others? Benefits, drawbacks, things to think about. Have you seen this done well, combining the lesson and the Lord's Supper? Have you seen it done well? Have you seen it done, in your opinion, not so well? What's happening in your local congregation? Why is what is being done, done that way? Remember, the way that we do the Lord's Supper and lessons is attached to our traditions. And we might think we don't have traditions, but we absolutely do. There's not a great deal of specificity in the New Testament about the way we do the Lord's Supper or about sermons for that matter. So therefore, there are some principles there, but we have flexibility in terms of practicals. It's important that though we have flexibility, that we do what we do with an intent to glorify God and to inspire spiritual maturity in one another. And for that reason, over the last couple of years, I've been generally combining sermons with Lord's Supper in an attempt to make sure that Christ is the focus. That's the main reason, honestly, that's the main reason. That Jesus really is the focus of my lessons and our thinking as a congregation. Reason number one. And the second reason is to make sure that we have a clarity of focus as a congregation of that lesson of the day so that we don't get three or four different lessons, which is just a little overwhelming. Well, what do you think about all this? Please add your comment. I know you're thinking about something right now, aren't you? Well, why not comment on it? Comment on it on the podcast or on the YouTube channel here. Leave that comment below and publicly so that I and others can learn, because we learn best when we're learning in community, right? If you've got something you want to email me about, then please do so, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, or you can leave a comment on the website, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. If you've got any thoughts, also on my website, you can sign up for my lovely newsletter, and I'll send you some thoughts now and again and some links to my latest materials. And if you're a new sign up, you'll get my free ebook. If you want it, How God Grows His People. So that's all yours if you just sign up. If you can think of anybody else who might benefit from this, please pass the link on. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell, and you won't miss any of these or any of my uploads. Well, I hope you find that helpful. Let me know what you think about sermons and Lord's Supper, separate, together, what's best in your opinion. Until the next time, keep calm and carry on teaching. Take care. God bless.